I'm so glad that we can worship despite the coronavirus. I wonder how long it will be before we'll actually be meeting together. But this I know, the Lord loves the way we are carrying on despite the restrictions. So welcome, and let us sing, I, the Lord of sea and sky.
People cry, all who dwell
Let us come to the Lord and praise him. Let us pray. Almighty and most powerful God, we come to worship you. We come to praise you. We praise you for who you are and also for what you do. Because from the beginning you have done marvelous things. And even today you are doing great things in our world and in our lives. How could we exist without you, Lord? We do not know. But this we know, that because you are God, you are wonderful. You are loving, you are guiding, you are extremely wonderful. So we want to praise you. And Lord, as you work in and through us, we want you and you alone to have the glory. We bring our prayer in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus our Saviour. Amen.
Our reading today comes from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 31. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who caused havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews by living in Damascus, by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by the night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord.
Let us come to the Lord and praise him. Let us pray. Almighty and most powerful God, we come to worship you. We come to praise you. We praise you for who you are and also for what you do. Because from the beginning you have done marvelous things. And even today you are doing great things in our world and in our lives. How could we exist without you, Lord? We do not know. But this we know, that because you are God, you are wonderful. You are loving. You are guiding. You are extremely wonderful. So we want to praise you. And Lord, as you work in and through us, we want you and you alone to have the glory. We bring our prayer in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus our Saviour. Amen. Let us come to the Lord in believing prayer. Let us pray. Lord, our God, our Father, our Saviour, our guide and counsellor. Oh, it's so wonderful that we can come and share the thoughts, the hopes, the disappointments, the needs that we have. We can come to you because you promise that where two or three are gathered, you will hear their prayers. And Lord, we may not be next to each other, but we are together in prayer. And Lord, we want to pray for all who are in authority in this world of yours. Give them your guidance, Lord. Let them know of your wisdom. Prevent them, Lord, from doing things that spoil your world. But give them a desire, Lord, to work for peace and for unity. We thank you for our own country. Lord, we may have gone through difficult times, but you've been with us. And the tremendous thing is that as worship has gone from churches throughout this country, there are thousands and thousands who have listened. And we want to thank you for that, Lord, because you are using this time to send out your message of love. We pray, Lord, that through this many may come to know you, Lord, as their God, as their Saviour, and as their friend. Lord, we bring to you our own families and friends. We thank you for each and every one of them. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would meet their needs. We ask, Lord, that you would keep them close to yourself, that you would keep them safe and free from this virus. Lord, we pray for ourselves. You know us, Lord. You know we love you, but we know that you love us. And we know that your promises are faithful. You will not let us down. And so, Lord, we claim your help. Help us, Lord. Forgive us for our sins. Strengthen us in our faith. And as we do our journey of discipleship, lead us, Lord. Go before us. Be behind us. Be our all in all. And Lord, what we do, may you be glorified. Oh, dear Lord, you are wonderful. And we can know and we can experience your wonderful love and guidance. We thank you, Lord, and we bring our prayer in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Saviour. Amen. Our message today is entitled Saul the Rebel. This is Saul who became Paul. First of all, number one, he met Jesus. This comes from verses 1 to 9 of Acts chapter 9. You know, Saul thought he was doing God's will by persecuting the Christians. In spite of his great learning, he was spiritually blind. He did not understand the Old Testament teaching about the Messiah. He stumbled over the cross and depended on his own righteousness. Saul was like an angry animal. Now, Damascus was a city with a large Jewish population, with possibly 30 to 40 synagogues in that city. Christians had gone there, and Saul was determined to stop them and bring them back, to threaten them and kill them if necessary. Yet suddenly, Saul found himself on the ground, and he made some wonderful discoveries. One, Jesus was alive. Now he must change his mind. Secondly, he, Saul, was a lost sinner. And thirdly, Jesus had a special work for him to do. Those who with Saul saw the light, but not the Lord. They heard the sound, but they did not hear the voice. And then we come to point number two. He met Ananias, verses 10 to 19. Ananias was a devout Jew who believed in Jesus. He knew of Saul's reputation. Nevertheless, he was available to do God's will, but not anxious to obey. Acts 9 verse 15 is a good summary of Paul's life and ministry. Once Ananias was convinced about Saul, he lost no time in obeying. And so Saul, who became Paul, was baptized, having already accepted Jesus. I ask you to notice that God can use even the most obscure saint. Here, Ananias is a lesson to us that we should never be afraid to obey God. God uses a miracle and a quiet meeting. We need to learn never to underestimate the value of a person who is brought to Jesus. Yes, Saul, now Paul, had been a rebel. And you know, to be honest, I love Paul. I love Paul because in him I see some of myself. A rebel, but the Lord delivered me from that life. And that's exactly what the Lord did to Saul, now Paul. He immediately began verses 20 to 25. He met opposition, but he began to preach Jesus as the Son of God. This is the only place in Acts that you'll find this title, but Paul used it in his letters at least 15 times. Jesus, the Son of God. His ministry began in Damascus. Every new convert should begin witnessing where they are. And that's what Paul did. We know that from Galatians 1 to verse 17, he went to Arabia. Why did he go? Possibly so that our Lord could teach him whilst he was on his own, so as to equip him for his ministry. We all need that equipping. When Paul returned to Damascus, the Jews tried to silence him. So now he would understand what it means to be hunted instead of being the hunter. Fourthly and finally, verses 26 to 31, Paul met the Jerusalem believers. And there are two stages to his experience in Jerusalem. Verse 26, he is rejected. They were afraid of him. Can we be surprised? Surely not. They knew of his past. They knew how he'd been responsible for the death of many Christians. And then we find in verses 27 to 31, Paul is accepted. I don't know whether you realize, but Barnabas, who is known as a great encourager, helped the Jerusalem church to accept Paul. Paul then obeys his Lord's command to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and he leaves Jerusalem. You know, my friends, whatever our past, whether we rebelled or whether we just lived a life for self, once we accept Jesus as our Saviour, we have a wonderful gift, and that is, we know of the love of Jesus, and we are given as disciples to share that love with others. And my earnest prayer is that through our own discipleship, through our own lives, there will be those who come and claim Jesus as their Saviour. It may be someone in our own family, maybe someone that we work with, maybe someone that we meet for the first time. But believe you, my friends, the Lord will use us and equip us to share his love with others. And to him be the glory. Amen. Now we are going to sing our last hymn. We want to see Jesus lifted high. May we, like Paul, go out with the message of your love in our own area, in our own world, in our own lives. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Spirit, be with us and everyone that we love, both now and forevermore. Amen.